This is an audio archive edition of WINA's Charlottesville Right Now, made available online by the Charlottesville Podcasting Network. Visit SevillePodcast.com for lectures, features, and radio shows. And now, here's Coy Barefoot.
David Kirby is a best-selling author. He is one of the nation's leading investigative journalists. His many books include Evidence of Harm, which you can learn more online at evidenceofharm.com. David joins us live from New York. David, how are you?
I'm great. How are you?
I'm good. It's good to hear your voice.
Yes, it's been a while since we've spoken.
Yeah. And I appreciate you. I know you've been fighting traffic, so I appreciate you getting to a phone to join us. Thank you so much for your time.
I beat the Brooklyn Queens Expressway once again.
David Kirby is my guest. David, you broke some news recently on the internet, and as we discuss this now, to my knowledge, this is the first time that this news has been discussed off of the web. In broadcast journalism,
you are making journalism history. Yes, it's all over the internet. It's on. I think I just checked. It's on something like 16,000 different websites all over the world now. Not just my news, but the actual text of the government concession. It has not yet been picked up in the mainstream media, which some people may not be surprised to hear. However, that will soon change.
Right. David Kirby is my guest. So, David, tell us then, what is this news that is just spreading like wildfire on the internet but hasn't yet been picked up by, well, today it has. The media has officially picked it up as of right now. But what is this news?
The good people of Charlottesville may be the only ones in the country to know this yet. Well, the federal government has conceded a test case in the autism proceedings in the federal Court of Claims, the so-called vaccine court. This case was supposed to be one of three test cases of whether mercury in vaccines can cause autism. And before it could even go to trial, the government, rather quietly last November, filed a concession in the case. What they said was that this girl had an underlying mitochondrial disorder, and that this order was severely aggravated by her vaccines, and that aggravation manifested as a regressive brain disease with features of autism spectrum disorder. So it's unprecedented in a number of ways.
So what we've been hearing, David Kirby is my guest, investigative journalist. His book is The Evidence of Harm, and the website is online at evidenceofharm.com. What we've been hearing for years, David, from the government experts, lawyers, and doctors, and the CDC, is that mercury in vaccines has absolutely nothing to do with the epidemic of autism. And if I hear you right, the government has conceded that, well, it does have something to do with it.
Yes.
Is that right?
That's pretty much right. The government has not conceded that vaccines cause autism. They have not conceded that any vaccine ingredient causes autism. They are, in their words, simply conceding that this one girl had an aggravation of a pre-existing condition, which manifested as signs of autism. Now, this girl did have a full-blown official diagnosis of autism, so it wasn't like it was some other disorder masquerading as autism. A diagnosis of autism is the definition of the disease. So what's important about this is right up even in these current trials that just opened in June of last year, and I've sat in on some of them, the government lawyers and the government witnesses have been arguing that autism is purely genetic, that there is no evidence of any environmental component whatsoever, and that it would be impossible to draw a chain of events that would link vaccination to a diagnosis of autism. Well, that's exactly what the government has just said happened to this one child. It becomes even more interesting as a scientific story, as well as a legal story, when you consider mitochondrial disease is very rare in the population at large, about 1 per 5,000 people. And there happens to be 5,000 cases currently in vaccine court, so one would expect this would be the one and only case under this type of circumstance.
David Kirby is my guest, investigative journalist, best-selling author, joins us live from his home in New York with this breaking news that is all over the internet, but WINA is the first news outlet in the country to actually be sharing this news with you over public airwaves. David, now what? I mean, what's the next step, and what is the larger meaning here?
Well, now what, and also if I could just finish my last point, is that among children with autism, the rate of mitochondrial disease, which this apparently is what was aggravated, can be as high as 10, 20, even higher than that, percent of the kids. In fact, one lawyer told me that they believe that about half of the kids currently filed in this court case, of about 2,500 kids, would meet the same criteria as this girl. Underlying mitochondrial disease triggered by vaccines led to a diagnosis of autism. So that in and of itself, I mean, if over the next year or so the government is going to concede, or the vaccine court judges are going to award autism vaccine payouts in 1,000 cases, if you think this one case is going to rock the world, that would just, you know, it just changes just about everything. I don't know if that's going to happen. I think that's probably the most extreme outcome here. But it should change the tenor of the debate, and it should give us a scientific opening, if you will. It's a window for us to find out what is it about mitochondrial disease that may be related to autism, what would be causing the mitochondrial disease in the first place, and then how would vaccines aggravate mitochondrial disease to lead to this diagnosis of autism? And what is it about the vaccines that would do that? Is it the mercury itself? Is it the live viruses? Is it a combination? Is it just too many antigens going into a small child with an underlying disease all at once? You're not supposed to vaccinate children when they're sick. This girl didn't seem to be sick. She was actually very well. But if she had an undetected disorder of mitochondria, obviously she should not have been vaccinated. It's quite possible she would not be autistic today if she hadn't been. So it's significant in a number of different ways.
We're talking with author David Kirby live from his home in New York. You can learn more online at evidenceofharm.com. And David broke this news just a few days ago. The government has conceded a case in vaccine court related to autism and vaccines. It really is a historic case, David. And, you know, for years they've been doctors and folks with the government have been saying to all those parents, and I am one, hey, we think that these shots might have had something to do with our kids' autism. We've been told that you're just crazy, or you're anti-vaccine, or you're just so distraught you're looking to blame anybody. And well, now, as of this case right here, as you say, it really changes the whole tenor of the debate.
It does, and maybe we can all agree on a term like contributing factors in some cases. You know, maybe vaccines do not cause autism, but in at least one case, it was a contributing factor. And I think in many, many more of these cases in court, it's going to be an apparent contributing factor. And then, of course, worldwide, we need to go back and look at kids. And the other questions are, if mitochondrial disease can be, let's say, triggered by the contributing factor of vaccines, what about an underlying genetic disorder or autoimmune disorder or allergic disorder? Could those also be aggravated by this contributing factor of vaccines? And likewise, if vaccines or mercury in vaccines or something about them are a contributing factor, a trigger of this disorder, what about environmental mercury? What about pesticides? What about air pollution? What about flame retardants in our homes? Could those also perhaps aggravate this underlying disorder to the extent of producing symptoms that look like autism?
My guest is David Kirby, online at evidenceofharm.com. So, David, what do you do now? And I promise you, there are grandparents and parents listening who are thinking, okay, well, at the end of the day, then what am I supposed to do? You know, what am I supposed to do as far as vaccines? You know, there are pregnant women who are listening, expectant fathers. What do we tell them then?
Well, it sure would be nice if we could test all children for mitochondrial disease before we vaccinate them. And one day we may well do that, and we may end up with a black box warning on vaccines saying, do not give this product to people with known mitochondrial disease. again, the question becomes, where does it come from? Was it inherited or was it acquired from the environment? 75% of all mitochondrial diseases are thought to have been of the sporadic variety. There are spontaneous deletions in the mitochondrial DNA unrelated to any other family members. This is not the inherited form. The inherited form seems to be a very classic form. You'll have a certain mutation in your DNA, and that will present as a certain outcome, including, by the way, Rett's disease is a mitochondrial disorder caused by a specific mutation in a specific gene in the mitochondria. This girl has nothing like that. So if 75% of the cases are sporadic, and according to the Cleveland Clinic, sporadic mitochondrial disease is caused by medicines and other toxins, well, some kids might be born genetically predisposed to mitochondrial disorder, but it looks like the good percentage of them acquired it at some point. Could it be, oh, I don't know, the day of birth when they got their hepatitis B vaccine with mercury in it? We know that mercury, a prime target of mercury in the cell, is the mitochondria. It can permeate the membrane wall of the mitochondria and actually kill the cell that way. And the mitochondria, the cells in the central nervous system, are highly dependent on mitochondrial function. And these children seem to have mitochondrial disease in their central nervous system. So mercury would be a prime suspect and not the only suspect of something that could cause mitochondrial disease. AZT, the AIDS drug that a lot of people take, can cause mitochondrial disease. It can cause massive deletions in the mitochondrial DNA of cells.
And David, just to boil it all down for somebody like me who really doesn't understand all the science, we're talking about putting different chemicals in your body that are messing with your cells in a way that you don't want them to. They're doing bad things to the way that your cells work.
They are, yes. Yes, and again, the literature is replete with references to mercury destroying mitochondria, messing up with mitochondrial DNA, and messing up with cells. The mitochondria, we all may remember from biology class, are the little batteries, the little powerhouses that exist within cells. They help convert food into energy. And these children have a cellular energy metabolism problem. They can't convert things like phosphorus into electricity. They can't convert calories. They can't make food turn into energy at the same efficient rate that the rest of us can. And this leads to low cellular energy, and it leads to mitochondrial disease. And it may set a child up for regression into autism, as the authors of this amazing paper in the Journal of Child Neurology 2 years ago, when they did a case study of this very same girl who just won this concession, they said that children with mitochondrial disorders and cellular energy problems may be more prone to autistic regression if between the ages of 18 and 30 months they receive infections or immunizations. And that is one of the leading journals in the world in terms of children's health.
My guest is David Kirby, one of the nation's leading investigative journalists. His book is In Evidence of Harm. It's the book, folks, if you want to understand the whole relationship and the debate surrounding autism and mercury and vaccines. David has all the facts there and all the studies. And if this case is any example, David, it seems like every week there's a new study and a new case coming out that this debate is long from concluded. I mean, I've talked to pediatricians who say, oh, yeah, we settled that debate a long time ago. And I just sort of shake my head and say, you haven't read the literature. You don't really understand that new studies are coming out all the time that are shedding more light on this debate.
Well, just last November, the same Journal of Child Neurology printed a study where two people went back and looked at the original data of a study that had concluded that children with autism did not have elevated levels of mercury in their blood, and therefore there was no association. And these people did their due diligence and went back and said, no, as a matter of fact, they got their math wrong. They did the analysis wrong. There is, indeed, an association between elevated levels of mercury in the blood and autism, and in fact, it looks like there is an association between mercury and autism. This was published in the Journal of Child Neurology, which every science writer in the country, one would hope, would receive and read, and yet they just let it go. They didn't cover that at all. It was roundly ignored.
Roundly ignored by the major media.
Yes.
But if a study came out that said vaccines had nothing to do with autism, it'd be all over the papers.
Correct.
Fascinating. Really is interesting. David Kirby, thank you so much for joining us. I know you're a busy man, and I can't tell you how much I appreciate your time.
Oh, hey, thanks for having me on. More than happy to break the news here, and if people want to go to the HuffingtonPost.com, you'll have to search for it at this point. Just search for my name and the word autism, and you will find the story. And I also posted the actual document in which the government conceded this very important vaccine autism case.
Great. David, thank you so much.
Thanks, Chris.
David Kirby, it's K-I-R-B, David Kirby, K-I-R-B-Y, and he's online at evidenceofharm.com. That is the name of the book. And David, of course, broke the news here on the internet just a few days ago that the government indeed has conceded a very important case that vaccines may have been a contributing factor to, at least in one case, in one young girl, her manifestation, her diagnosis of autism. We're going to take a break here at the bottom of the hour. We'll be back with Delegate Shannon Valentine from Richmond. You're listening to Charlottesville Right Now.
You've been listening to WINA's Charlottesville Right Now with Coy Barefoot. The show is on the air Monday through Friday on News Radio 1070 WINA from 4 to 6 in the afternoon. Join in on the show by calling 434-977-1070 or feel free to leave a comment on the show at SevillePodcast.com. This is the Charlottesville Podcasting Network.